Coming up on the catch up, what did you get paid in other than money? Also, something a little bit different because I want this show this year to be about interesting stuff as much as it is entertaining, potentially funny. I don't know if it is. Good music, all that sort of stuff. So something that's wowed me this week. And also, how many times did you have to take your driver's test before you passed? Also tell you about which suburbs in Perth are the hardest ones to pass in.
Welcome. This is The Rush Hour with Pete Corelli. Perth's Mix 94.5.
I want to talk about what did you get paid in other than money. Great viral video going around today, Sesame Street. It features the Cookie Monster, Big Bird, and another one of the Muppets. And it's the Cookie Monster negotiating his salary for a new job he's about to take.
But if me take journalist job, we need to discuss salary and benefits and time off. Oh, and retirement package.
We'll give you a cookie.
Sold. Me take it.
Now, the reason why this video is actually going viral today is because it's being picked up by a lot of people in the journalism industry who are actually saying, oh, wow, this is so incredibly accurate, especially for my first job. And I know you there thinking right now, listening to that, it's probably accurate for you for your first job as well. I mean, I know me in particular, I did a lot of first jobs, especially when I was working in radio, where I pretty much got paid peanuts. In fact, if you got peanuts, you considered yourself quite lucky. But those were some of the things that you actually had to do when you were starting out in an industry, trying to get experience and all that sort of stuff. Some of these tweets, you know, saying, oh, yeah, so accurate. Me accepting my first writing job. This is disturbingly realistic. I am hurt by the accuracy. We want to talk to you. 133353. What did you get paid in? Now, it could be maybe a one-off job that you did for somebody. Maybe you did something to help them out or something like that. You got paid something relatively interesting for it. Or maybe it was a job you were actually going for and you got paid something like crazy different. Like there are stories from my family from years ago when they have gone to do jobs for people and they've literally gotten paid in Italian biscuits. Like that's exactly what's happened. Or it's been fruit and veg from the back garden. These are the things that actually used to happen once upon a time. They may very well still happen now. We got Sue in Bateman. You've called up. What did you get paid in, Sue?
My friend wanted, I wanted her four-poster bed that she was selling.
Yeah.
So if I did some painting for her, I got it. So, yeah, I painted part of her house.
So you've painted part of her house, you got the four-poster bed. At least this is something where you've actually gone and you've seen something, you've gone, you know what, I want that and I will help you out with something to get that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have it anymore. My ex broke it.
Oh, jeez.
How did he break it, Sue?
Yeah, right, okay.
No,
all right.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome. Four-poster bed for painting a room. All right, good one to kick us off.
Mix 94.5's Rush Hour with Pete Corelli.
But if me take journalist job, we need to discuss salary and benefits and time off. Oh, and retirement package.
We'll give you a cookie.
Sold. Me take it.
So a little Sesame Street video going viral today for all those sorts of reasons where people are talking about, well, yes, I literally got paid cookies for some of the jobs that I did, particularly some of my first. We got Claire in Kalamunda. What'd you get paid in other than money, Claire?
Well, better than cookies, Jack Daniels for dog grooming.
Oh, hello. Yeah,
hello.
That is pretty good.
A whole case of Jack Daniels for some dog grooming.
Okay, but was it worth it? Like, how big? So you did the dog grooming, you got the Jack Daniels. How many dogs did you have to do? How big were they?
Okay, I did about four dogs.
Four dogs?
Well, they weren't too big, but that was good.
Yeah. How big's a case of Jack
Daniels?
You kept me
going all week. Right?
How big's a case of Jack Daniels?
Six bottles.
Oh, wow. That's,
I was happy. I was happy all week.
You ripper. That's a good one, Claire. Mike in Scarborough. Tell us what you got paid in other than money, mate.
I worked at the Royal Show when I was a kid and got paid in rides.
In free rides?
Free rides.
Wow. What was a ride worth back when you were a kid working at the Royal Show?
Oh, about 10 cents, I think.
10 cents. And what was the job? What did you do?
I just took the money and made sure they had the ticket to get on.
Yeah.
And everyone down the street that had rides. I got free rides off them. If I gave them free rides, so it worked out good.
Jeez, that's pretty good. 10 cents far out. I tell you what, $5 to $10 for a ride these days, you're doing pretty well, I reckon.
yeah, true.
Good on you, Mike. Thanks, mate. Annette in Bentley, what'd you get paid in?
I got paid in sausage rolls.
Get out, sausage rolls. Like, as in, like, homemade sausage rolls or homemade out of the freezer in a bag
rolls.
Or what?
No, homemade sausage rolls. She made them especially for me.
Yeah. And what did
and
you...
I was grooming her dog as well.
Yeah, you were grooming dogs as well.
I am, yes. I'm a pet groomer also.
Oh, my God. So oh, how
we
many...
barter everything.
Yeah, how many sausage rolls did you get?
I got a whole Tupperware container full. I mean, I had to freeze a heap of them.
Yeah, but
my kids went mad on them for ages. So.
Oh, and they were fresh and everything because you had to freeze them after.
They were fabulous. Yeah,
in a Tupperware container.
Did you have to
give the Tupperware container back, or could you keep it?
Of course, the next time.
Yeah, well, it's Tupperware, isn't it? Yeah, you always
absolutely.
Give a Tupperware container
worth
back.
Worth in gold, isn't it? Tupperware.
Oh. Have we stumbled upon something here where pet groomers aren't getting paid money? Is that what's going on?
Paid the dry cleaning.
Yeah. That's not too bad.
It does that as well.
Yeah. Oh, far out. That's insane. Oh, good stuff, Annette. Thanks
but
for your call.
Claire's.
You love what?
Jack Daniels, please.
Oh, yeah. Would you take the Jack Daniels over the sausage rolls?
Oh, I'd go half with her.
Good stuff, Annette. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
The Rush Hour with Pete Corelli on Perth's Mix 94.5.
But I wanted to do something extra this year. Something, something that that's interesting. And so with a little thing that if I come across, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and if I come across something that I've found really interesting, I'm going to bring it to you. Just, you know, and feel free to do the same. If you're finding something interesting as you go about your life, feel free to do the same. And it might end up in our little thing called That's Interesting.
Wow.
So first one for you. This one I came across in a TED talk. It's from the TED Radio Hour. It's a podcast I like listening to. I want to tell you about a guy called Neil Harbison. Now, he's an artist with an incredible story. He was born without the ability to see colour like you and I do. And they discovered this when he was 11. Imagine that. Imagine not being able to see the colour of pink in roses or see the beautiful hues that we get over the horizon here in the West, a gorgeous sunset or something like that. It'd be horrendous, right? Well, now, Neil had aspirations to be an artist, and years down the track, he was in a lecture theatre and stumbled upon a talk talking about cybernetics. And this is infusing the human body with technology, kind of like the $6 million man. Now, he pursued this, and get this, Neil now has a camera that's implanted into the base of his skull, and it sees colour, and it translates this colour into sounds that he interprets as colour. Now, this blew my mind listening to him in his life. Like, for example, what's it like going to different places? What does he hear when the colour capture camera attached to his brain sees the colours?
Going to an art gallery, I can listen to a Picasso, for example. So it's like going to a concert hall because I can listen to the paintings. And supermarkets, it's like going to a nightclub. It's full of different melodies. Yeah. Especially the aisle with cleaning products. It's just fabulous. Also, the way I dress has changed. Before, I used to dress in a way that it looked good. Now I dress in a way that it sounds good. So today I'm dressed in C major, so it's quite a happy chord. If I had to go to a funeral, though, I would dress in B minor, which would be turquoise, purple, and orange.
Now, if this camera is playing him sounds based on the color that the camera sees, would that mean that when he hears sounds, he can interpret them as colors? Well, the answer is yes.
I heard a telephone tone, and it felt green because it sounded just like the color green. The BBC beeps, they sound turquoise. So I started to paint music and paint people's voices because people's voices have frequencies that I relate to color.
When you transpose music to color, it's interesting to compare different artists. For example, Mozart used a lot of yellow, which is in many of his pieces, there's a lot of G notes. Whereas Justin Bieber is very pink. because there's lots of E's and also D's in his music. So you realize that artists are using more or less the same colors when they compose.
Neil Harbison, an artist with an incredible story, born without the ability to see color, who just made it happen for him. That's interesting.
Wow. 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 Wow.
Wow.
Wow.
Mix 94.5's Rush Hour with Pete Corelli.
I would love to hear from you, especially about this. I want to know, on that number, how many times did you take your driver's test and pass? Come on, think back. Doesn't matter if it was the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and now. How many times did you take your driver's test and pass? Now, I'm quite confident in saying, or confident, comfortable in saying, that I only took one time to pass my test. Nailed it on the first go. Although there were a couple little hiccups along the way, I did all right. Although, things are a little bit different when it comes to metropolitan Perth. 133353. How many times do you take your driver's test? Hardest place to pass your driving test in Perth. Get this. This is some incredible stats right here, okay? The PDA, Practical Driving Assessment, 35-minute on-road test taken with a Department of Transport assessor, who, I might add, are some of the scariest people in Western Australia. As a 17-year-old going for your P's, oh my goodness, freaked me out. They just sit there, just like concrete. On their face. Great poker players, I swear. Now, a department spokesperson has told WA Today the number one reason learner drivers struggled to pass was due to lack of preparation. All right, that's fair enough. But let's go through some of these figures, all right, because this stuff is absolutely mind-blowing. Figures provided to WA Today show that 82,809 people sat the test across metropolitan Perth in 2018. 55.1% of drivers failed their practical driving assessments. Only 45% actually passed. Now, of the fail rates at Perth driving centres, Cannington was lowest. Now, I will take you back to when I said that I passed it on the first go. I grew up in Cannington. There you go. Joondalup was right up there. High. And for the second year running, Mirrabooka was also the hardest centre for drivers to pass their PDA. Highest fail rate out of all nine centres, 63.7%, which was actually an improvement on last year. Had a 77.6% fail rate. What's going on in Mirrabooka? Is it tough to drive out there? Are there a lot of stop signs and roundabouts? What's the deal? Give me a call, 133353. Closely followed by Willoughby, 63.4%. Joondalup at 63% success and 60.9%. This is the overall practical driving assessment, and then Cannington was up there again, if I do say so myself. 133353, how many times did you take your driver's test? We actually popped this up at the Mix Facebook page. We've got a little poll going there of the likes and shares and the comments and interactions, all that sort of stuff. 94 people are saying first time, 41 people it's taken less than three times, less than five times, and three people don't ask.
The Rush Hour with Pete Corelli.
What do you got, Pete?
It took me twice, but it was back in the days when you used to get a copper to take you through your test.
A copper?
Yeah.
Wow.
At Warwick Licensing Centre.
Yeah. So what got you on the first go?
I'm not quite sure. Just ran out of points, but he wasn't a very happy man, I tell you that.
I've got to be honest, Peter, they never are. I don't remember my, regardless of copper or not, I don't remember my driving instructor being a happy man either.
No, they called him the sergeant. So
it makes him sound like he's got a big dirty moustache and he always has a real scowl on his face.
That's it. But the second time round was another policeman. He was introduced me as Snowy.
Yeah.
And I think he must have been on the tail end of retirement there because he sat in the car. I was sitting at the intersection of Warwick Road and Arendale Drive, I believe it was. Stalled the car three times, waiting to turn the corner.
Yeah.
And I turned to him, I said, I don't know why the car's stalling. He said, take it out of third gear. And then asked me to go back to the station. and much to my surprise, I passed.
What a ripper. When was it? How long ago was this? When did you get your license? How long ago was it?
Oh, gee, it would be pushing, what am I now, 48. So it probably would have been about 30 years ago.
Yeah, right, 30 years. Okay, so that's a couple of times. You've got Kylie in Como. How many times did it take you to pass your driver's test, Kylie?
It's embarrassing. I think it was about 4 or 5 times.
Always go with the lower end. Okay, let's just
four.
Why? What was the deal?
Everything. It was a different issue every time. I think initially it was just nerves.
Yeah.
And then it was parking, and then it was other traffic, and all sorts of things.
It is nerve-wracking, though, isn't it? When you're going for your, like, that driver's test. This is what we were just talking with Pete before. Like the. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I found my driving instructor sat there and said nothing and, like, had this crazy, just stone-faced, cemented look on his face. And
no encouragement.
Yeah, no encouragement. Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, you got there in the end.
Technically, I never passed, but he still gave me the license.
He's like, he got to a stage where he was like, I don't want to see you again.
I don't want to see you. Exactly.
Exactly. Oh, good on you, Kylie. Cheers. Stephen Alexander Heights, mate. How many times did it take your driver's test to pass?
Actually, only the once.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, pretty good, but it was a bit of a twist. So I was not very confident with getting my manual license at the time when I was a young fella. So I decided to go for my automatic. And I passed the first time. But when the license came in the mail, that actually issued me with a full manual license.
Get out.
And, so I never had to go back and resit my manual test, and I never have done that. I never went back, so...
So you hold a manual license, but you never passed a manual test. Can you, to this day, drive a manual?
I can now, yes. My first car wasn't automatic, but I can assure you I drive better than most people out there now.
Good on you, Steve. Cheers, mate.
Thanks, mate.
The Rush Hour with Pete Corelli. Weekday arvos from 3 on Perth's Mix 94.5.